You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Andrew Garcia, in today for Vicky Gonzalez. The Roaring Twenties are often seen as a significant time for cultural and technological changes in America. From Prohibition to the Jazz Age, America was evolving in many ways. 1926 also happened to be one of the deadliest years in American history, and we weren't even involved in any wars. David Kolchek is a Sacramento-based homicide historian and author of numerous books, including Forgotten Sacramento Murders and Deadly California. Over the years, he started to notice a number of his stories took place during the same year, 1926. He's gathered many of them together for his latest release, 1926 Homicide in America, which is actually the second expanded edition. David will talk about his book tonight, Thursday, May 28th at Time Tested Books, and is here right now to join us here on Insight. David, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
And I should say, welcome back. For those who may not be familiar with the term homicide historian, what is that? And do you need any qualifications to become one?
Well, I have a BA of history at Sac State, and I also went to the University of Wisconsin in Madison. Mm. So part of the reason why I got my degree is because I already had books out. And, you know, I had to, you know, there's that, oh, who are you? You know, it's like, okay, so I got a degree to back me up.
To get you to increase your bona fides.
Yeah. I even had professors at Sac State ask me, why am I in school? Because I had another book out, and it's like, oh. But what was the question?
Well, we're always interested in stories about, like, death and destruction. Where did your interest grow in this particular topic?
Well, part of it was is that I'd be reading history books about criminal things, and I mean, they would always read about the same people. Mm-hmm. And especially when I got to California and started reading about California crimes, it was all, you know, the same people involved. And I knew that there was more things than that. I was a music writer and a short story writer before that, and when I got to California, I saw these books by Quill Driver Press or Craven Street Books, and I thought, hey, I bet you they'd like this idea, and they took it. So,
So your latest book is all about murder and mayhem in 1926. Take us back to that time. What was going on in the country?
Well, 1926 was, you know, 7 years or so after World War One. Ended, and the Spanish flu epidemic too. So everyone in almost in the entire world knew somebody had died, either in the war or in the epidemic. Yeah. And at the same time, people were just wondering, well, what is life all about? Why do I have to wear this constrictive corset, and you know, why do I have to wear this wool suit in the middle of the summer? And so it was kind of the very first youth movement in America. Mm. There might have been others, you know, in ancient Rome and stuff, but I don't go back that far. But as far as America goes, it was the first youth movement. People started, you know, women cut their hair short, and they wore short skirts and smoked cigarettes, and, you know, guys, you know, wore makeup, and everyone was doing drugs, and alcohol was illegal. So that added a little more fun to things for them. And yeah,
at a time when people are questioning their place and roles in society. And why do you think all of this change ended up leading to violence?
I think that, you know, you fill up a glass too much and it's going to spill over. And I think things just spilled over in that time. Yeah, there was a lot of really bad alcohol. In fact, in 1926, the government asked alcohol producers to add a poison to it. And the result of that is like 500 people died in New York City in 1 week.
That's astonishing.
Yeah, it's astonishing. And so they got rid of that real quick after, because that maybe that whole month, I have it down, there's like 30 people in Sacramento died from the poison booze.
Wow.
All over the country, just people just kicked over.
Are there any other stories that stand out from your collection as some of the most, you know, shocking or saddest?
Yeah, the saddest story. Now, this book covers entire country, and most of my books, actually all my other books, only covered California. So I always focused on that. But because of these murders went all over the country, I just said, the saddest one is I called Mother's Knows Best, and it happened on May 4th, 1926 in Casa Grande, Arizona. And, you know, in 1926, Arizona was really unpopulated desert wasteland. Phoenix only had the population of 30,000 people. So this married couple, they grew up in Phoenix. They were a young couple, Cecilia Cox, with their daughter Dorothy and Doris Cox and her husband Evans. They bought a little ranch about 23 miles southeast of Rio Grande, which is really out in the middle of nowhere. Yeah. Nowadays, it's not, you know, there's people have motorcycle stores and whatever they're around. But back then, their nearest neighbor is 7 miles away.
Wow.
So her husband and her brother both worked at a ranch about 17 miles away, and they left for the week on a Sunday. And that night, Celia heard a noise in the chicken coop, and she went out to investigate, and she got bit in the ankle by a rattlesnake.
Oh.
So
a sound coming out in the middle of the night, never good news. No. for somebody in this type of story.
I know, especially when you're by yourself. Well, she tried all the techniques that you do to you know, stop a poison from going through your bloodstream, including cutting the wound. And she did that. She nicked an artery. Oh. She started bleeding to death. So she started writing a note in a notebook to her husband. And eventually there were like bloody fingerprints on it, and she couldn't stop the bleeding at all. She decided instead of having her 1-year-old daughter and 3-year-old daughters get left to coyotes and buzzards, she shot each one and then shot herself in the chest. Jeez. Her husband and brother came back like 2 days later and found them, and they were all buried in the same coffin. But isn't that sad?
That is one of the saddest things I've heard.
Yeah.
And that's like the breadth of these stories. Something about the year of 1926, you can have a story of like, you know, misfortune, nothing that even happened, you know, and the choices that were made, just such misfortune on a personal level to, like you were saying, these broader things like the government poisoning alcohol and killing people. Something about that year is just so, so strange. Do you have another story maybe from California?
Yeah, I got one of the party pooper. It happened right here in Sacramento. It happened on March 7th, 1926. It was a Sunday night, and a group of 20-somethings got together to have a party. It was Frank Hines, Joseph Barcias, and James and Hazel O'Shear. They met at John Trotter's apartment at 621 16th Street. Now, last time I checked, it was a vacant lot. They had torn down what was there, and there's probably an apartment building built there. I think that's what they were doing, you know, on 16th. So they were celebrating. They all got released from the hospital. They all had broken legs except for Basios. And they were all in the same hospital together in rehab. Two of the guys worked for the Bee at the composing room. And Trotter was a car salesman, broke his leg while he's driving drunk. And he was fined $700, which is a lot of money in 1926. So they were all in crutches, hopping around this apartment and stuff. And James O'Shear bumped his leg on the dresser and fell on his bed in pain. And another one of his buddies, Hines, they were all drunk. And they pushed him back on the bed. They were goofing around. He'd say, no, man, lay down. Don't get up. Don't get up. And all of a sudden, Trotter comes in the doorway on his crutches and fires three shots from a .32 caliber pistol. Mm-hmm. And one of the bullets hits Hines in the heart. Trotter jumped on O'Shea and started choking him. His eyes were bugging out, and his wife jumped on him and managed to get him to let go. She grabbed the gun that was on the floor, and she threw it out the window. And this is kind of funny, is that Hazel went through Trotter's dresser and grabbed a clean T-shirt for her husband, James, because they had to walk all the way back to 32nd and U Street.
Wow, bleeding.
At 2 o'clock in the morning in a bloody shirt and crutches, that would cause attention.
That would, yeah.
Even now.
I'm sure it's happened in Midtown more recently than we would think.
Yeah, I know. So Trotter talked Perseus into dragging Hines out and throwing him behind a gas station next door. And, of course, they were found right away. And it didn't take long for, you know, everybody to talk about what happened. So Trotter just lied through the whole trial, blamed it on a Bessarus guy. And eventually the story was so distorted that the judge had a hung jury. They tried it again. He was convicted. He did 2 years in prison.
2 years?
2 years.
Wow. There is something that is, that you said, you know, you mentioned it's funny. There's a macabre sense of humor to some of these things that go on, and like a distinct fascination that I think a lot of us have with, you know, death or destruction or sad tales. It's caught on, I feel like, in, you know, the past decade or so. People call this sort of genre true crime nowadays.
Right.
But you've been at it for quite a long time before that swing. Have you noticed the genre or the fandom, I guess, for lack of a better word, change over the time that you've been doing it, now that these sort of like true crime podcasts have taken off and there's been more attention on these types of stories?
Well, I think that the whole true crime genre is falling down now.
Oh.
There aren't as many podcasts as there were, and a lot of them just do singular subjects. So that they don't like
specific crimes,
yeah.
Specific people. Yeah.
And as far as like magazines and things, they're almost non-existent now. Before, I could always depend on the independent weeklies, you know, because something happened in their town, I'd send a book, I'd write about it. It was great. But, you know, the pandemic wiped out the independent weeklies, and they don't exist anymore. A lot of things don't exist, you know, in the last 10 years now.
That's true. So it sounds like we've hit a peak and are past the peak of true crime. COVID was something you mentioned as being playing a bit of a role with the weeklies. Is there anything else that you attribute to the peak? Is it just oversaturation?
I think it's oversaturation. I think that a lot of people, I'm a historian, so I look at different cases where a lot of the podcasts just take a single subject and they want to be detective. I had a review in one of my books, my Sacramento book, Crimes in Sacramento, and this person wrote an Amazon review and was mad that I didn't solve the crime of her dead aunt's murder that happened 70 years ago. I'm sorry, but I don't really solve crimes. You know, I just...
Document your historian.
You know, yeah.
You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. If you're just joining us, we're talking with author and homicide historian David Kolchek about his latest book, 1926 Murder in America. So why do you think people are fascinated by stories like these?
You know, everybody's going to die. Nobody knows how they're going to die. It's the biggest question, you know, in the world. And when a life is taken by someone else, they've been shortchanged. And, you know, everybody likes the idea of revenge or justice, getting justice done, you know, or, you know, people that get shot that were bad people, you know, or get murdered that are bad people. So it makes some people feel good about that, well, that guy was a bad guy. You know, he got murdered.
Yeah, justice, again, mm-hmm. in a different form.
Yeah, my first book was California Justice, Shootouts, Lynchings, and Assassinations. And I discovered a couple of lynchings that no one knew of before.
Wow.
Wrote about.
California has a rich history, which folks can find in your books. You're doing a talk tonight at Time Tested Books. What can people expect when they attend?
Oh, more murder and mayhem, a little laughter, you know. It's Time Tested Books has always been a good place for me, and it's a real old school bookstore. It's just great.
Yeah. What's next for you?
You know what? This is it. I'm done. I'm 68 years old. I've written 8 books in the last 15 years. I've been a published author for 31 years. And my wife retired last year. We're having fun hanging out together. And you know, when I was in gear to be writing things, I wrote from like 9 to 6 every day. I set up like regular hours that I wrote and researched at the same time. So, yeah, it's a lot of work. It's not like on TV where people are like, oh, I'm an author. And it's like, hey. Well, there's this historian, Alice Loxton from England. And she wrote this book called 18 about these people when they were 18 did great things. Well, it wasn't. It was kind of wasn't sold a bill of goods. It was like, it was just like, oh, what they were doing when they were 18. Well, it's not like they, you know. But anyway, she's always lollygagging around in all these places in England, you know, with these clips on the internet. And it's like, I wonder, when does she have time to write?
Yeah.
Because she's always all, it's like.
It's a full job. Yeah. It's a full time, like you're saying. And now you'll be getting some much deserved rest.
Yes.
David, thank you so much for joining us here today.
Hey, thanks for having me. Our show is at 6:30 tonight.
And that'll be at Time Tested Books here in Sacramento. And that was my guest, David Kolchek. He's the author of 1926 Murder in America. The new and expanded edition came out this year. Still ahead, prolific Americana duo Meisner and Smith join us to talk about their upcoming performance at the Sophia in Sacramento. And we'll play a little music they recorded right here in Cap Radio Studios. You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Andrew Garcia. We're back in just a moment.